Chapter 6. Photographs. After the rain, everything began to grow. The trees were filled with colour and smell. The sides of the roads were covered in spring flowers. For 5 days, Harold walked, stopping only to buy more plasters, sun cream, and some biscuits that he put in the rucksack, and to eat and sleep. But he was always up by first light. He walked through Glastonbury and Wells, and finally he reached Bath on a Monday morning. When he saw himself in the shop windows, the man looking back at him was so tall and strong that he had to check it was really himself. His leg was better. His heel was pink again, not purple, and he was not afraid anymore. The compass always pointed north. Taking out his book, he learned which plants could be eaten and which could make him ill. The smell of wild garlic filled the air, and it surprised him how much grew at his feet. He continued to send postcards to Queenie and Maureen, and sometimes he wrote to the petrol station girl. He passed office workers, dog walkers, children going to school. He talked with a young woman who was looking for her father and a homeless man. He learned that the world was full of people putting one foot in front of the other and that everyone was small and alone. Harold could not pass anyone now without knowing that everyone was the same and also different. It was called being a human. Maureen told him that she had moved out of the guest room and back into their bedroom. He was surprised at first, and then happy, because it was the nicest room. But he thought that this also meant that she had put his things in the guest room. "I've been thinking about when we first met," she told him, "at that dance in Woolwich. You said something funny. I laughed and laughed." Harold tried to remember it, but all he could think of was how beautiful she had been with her long dark hair. He could not believe that he had walked across the dance floor to her, or that he had made her laugh. She must think that he was someone else. "Well, I must let you go," she said. "I know you're busy." It was the voice that she used when she did not want to take up someone's time. "I'd love to remember what you said at the dance," she added. "It was so funny." He spent the rest of the day remembering Maureen and how it was in the beginning. He thought of going to the cinema, taking her to little restaurants. Even in those days, he started saving for their future. He had many jobs in the library, cleaning at the hospital, and collecting tickets on the buses. The wedding was small, with guests that he did not know. On the night of the wedding, she had stood in her nightdress and looked so beautiful that he ran out of the bedroom. He remembered when her mother died, she had cried and said, "It's only me and you now." He had put his hand on her round stomach and promised that it would be all right, and in those days she had believed him. He walked on towards Gloucestershire. He felt the sun on his shoulders and watched a bird with silver wings. Only the nights worried him. He continued to stay in cheap hotels, but he wanted to be outside the whole time. He did not want to stop. He knew that Queenie was waiting for him, and he kept imagining arriving at Berwick. There would be so much to talk about. He would remind her how she used to bring chocolate for him on their journeys and told him jokes. Sometimes he had to stop the car because they were laughing so much. He often talked to her about David. Would she remember that? She had no children of her own and was interested in David's life at university in Cambridge. What does he think of the town? She asked. Has he made lots of friends? Harold told her that his son was having a wonderful time, although David did not often answer Maureen's calls and letters. Harold did not tell Queenie about the empty whiskey bottles that he had found in the shed. He told no one, not even his wife. Then he thought of Napier. He remembered a young woman who was suddenly fired from the brewery. Some people said that she was having Napier's baby, and later that he paid for her to lose it. He remembered Napier hitting a boy who worked for him because he had got drunk. The boy was screaming with pain, but Napier was telling everyone that it was funny. He heard Queenie say, "Something happened at the brewery last night." His body shivered, and her small hand held his arm. Her face was white. "Are you listening?" she said. "Because this is serious." It was the last time that he saw her. He knew that she had guessed the truth. He wondered why she had taken the blame and thought about how much he regretted what he had done. She was fired immediately. "We could hear Napier shouting at her all over the brewery," people told him. Harold was sitting in a pub at the time. Feeling sick, he had reached for his whiskey and finished it. No, he had not been brave, but at least he was changing that now. Again, he asked himself why, all those years ago, Queenie had not come to say goodbye. Maureen had begun to spend more time with Rex. He bought her a huge map of England, and they spent many hours following Harold's journey with a red pen, putting his postcards on the way and a flag on Berwick-upon-Tweed. Then Rex started taking Maureen out in his car. They took roses to the church, where Elizabeth lay, and went out on a boat. Rex said that it was very good for him to get out, and Maureen said that it helped her too. They were sitting on the beach at Bantham when she told him how she and Harold had first come to Kingsbridge when they were newly married. They had so much hope in those days. "We knew no one, but it didn't matter. We only needed each other," she told Rex. "He had nothing as a child, so I wanted to give him everything. I learned to garden and cook. Harold dug me vegetable beds and I grew food for us. We had potatoes, beans, and carrots. We were very happy." She stared out at the sea. "I say so many things that I don't mean, Rex. I blamed him when David nearly drowned. I think something nice about Harold, but when it gets to my mouth, it stopped being nice. He starts to tell me something, and I'm saying, 'I think not,' before he finishes the sentence." She lifted her hand and touched her neck, where the skin was soft. Lying in bed in the morning light, she imagined Harold's hands touching her body, his mouth on hers. The wardrobe door was open, showing one of Harold's shirts. She felt a pain inside and got up from the bed. She went to the wardrobe and moved his summer clothes to one end and his winter ones to the other. There was the dark suit jacket that he had bought for David's graduation from university. She felt her heart jump. 20 years fell away, and she saw the two of them again, standing there, feeling uncomfortable, Maureen in her pink dress and Harold in his new suit. They waited where David had told them to wait, but it was the wrong place, and they had missed the whole graduation. David had said sorry when they met him coming out of a pub, but then he failed to meet them later for a promised boat ride on the river. She and Harold drove home silently, until she said, "He's going on a walking holiday."
"That's good.
At least he's been to university," she added angrily. David came home 2 weeks later without saying why he was back so soon. He carried a huge brown rucksack and asked his mother for money. When he could not get out of bed, she blamed university for taking away his energy.
"He just needs to find the right job," she said.
The truth was that their son could hardly stand most of the time. There were times that she looked at him and did not even feel sure that he had graduated. And then she felt bad for not trusting him and blamed Harold instead. "At least he'll be able to get a good job," she had said. "At least he has his hair." Money began to disappear from her purse. She tried not to notice. As the years went by, she worried that she had not done enough. David promised her that she had. She had showed him jobs that were advertised. She made him visit the doctor. He was given pills for the depression and to help him sleep at night. Maureen sat on the side of the bed and put her face in her hands.
"Oh, Harold," she said.
Suddenly, she took down the dark pink dress that she had worn for the graduation and hung it next to the suit. Then she put the arm of the suit round the shoulder of the dress. It made her smile, and then it made her cry. She spent hours looking out of the windows, remembering the past. She found some old photographs in the drawer next to Harold's bed. There was one of her laughing in the garden after they were married, and another of David wearing his first pair of shoes. Something about the second photograph made her straighten. David was holding Harold's hand in the photograph. Why hadn't she noticed this? For years, she had blamed Harold for never holding or touching their son, for not giving him the love that a child needs. She went to the sitting room where there were more photos. Most of them were of herself and David, but there were others. In one photo, David lay on Harold's knees as a baby while his father looked down on him, frightened to touch him. There was one of David sitting on Harold's shoulders, and another of him when he was 13, side by side with Harold, looking at something in the garden. They had tried to be close. She could see that now. Harold had wanted it, and even David sometimes. She remembered again the day at Bantham when David had nearly drowned. She watched Harold pause to take off his shoes, and then she pointed the camera at herself. Her stomach jumped. There she was at the water's edge, shouting and waving, but not running into the sea. If Harold should be blamed, then surely she, Maureen, should be blamed too. The days that followed were worse. The photographs lay all over the floor of the sitting room. She started eating cheese and biscuits because she did not want to cook. All she did was remember. When Harold rang, she could only listen.
"Really?" she said, or, "Imagine that."
She never said, "Harold, I have done wrong to you," or, "Is it really too late?" But she thought these things all the time. After the calls had finished, she sat feeling depressed in the cold light of the night sky and cried for hours. The safe, sleeping world had no place for her. She could not stop thinking of Rex and how terribly he missed Elizabeth.